We'll turn again, please, in God's Word to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 and the verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to his word. Let us seek the Lord's face together in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee that as we seek thy face together, that we come to the Almighty. And Lord, we look to thee for thy help to be given today as we open up the scriptures. And Lord, we ask that thy word will be taken and written on every one of our hearts. Grant that needed help of the Holy Spirit of God, we pray in our Lord's great name. Amen. Amen. The psalmist David cried out in Psalm 21, Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Be not silent to me. And what an awful plight it is for the child of God to be crying out to God, but to feel that heaven is like brass, that no answer is forthcoming, and to feel that God is being silent, no word from God. Can there be a greater lament than this in the heart of the child of God? And it may be that this had been the experience of Abraham. 13 years earlier, Ishmael had been born. And prior to the birth of Ishmael, the Lord, the angel of the Lord, had met with Hagar. And I suggested to you last Lord's Day that appearance of the angel of the Lord was actually an Old Testament appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I showed you that she had spoken to Abraham of something of what had happened when she met the angel of the Lord in the wilderness. And yet, we have no record of the angel of the Lord coming and meeting with Abraham at that particular time. And so it appears that there was this period of silence. But then there was a breaking of that silence in verse 1 of chapter 17. When Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him. And so for these 13 years or so, Abraham surely had been waiting and longing that the Lord would speak something more of his great plan and purpose. Abraham certainly during those 13 years was still hoping, as we'll see in a moment or two, was still hoping that Ishmael could be the promised seed. But now the Lord came. The Lord spoke to him. Now I believe that on this occasion, it was not just the Lord speaking with Abraham, but the Lord actually appeared to him in some form. Because this word that is translated, the Lord appeared to Abraham, is related to a Hebrew word that refers to seeing. The same word is found in chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And we know in chapter 18 that when the Lord appeared there, that it was actually in a physical form. That there were these three that appeared to be angels, but one of them was actually the Lord, and we'll come to that in a future time. And so, as we think of the same word being used in chapter 17, verse 1, and chapter 18, verse 1, that would suggest that there was indeed this physical appearance. If you also notice with me, verse 22, Genesis 17:22, And he left off talking with him. And God went up from Abraham. God went up from Abraham. So the beginning of the verse has to do with the speaking. But then there's something else added. The Lord went up, and surely what's implied there then is that the Lord had come down in some form to him. Now, as the Lord appeared then to Abram, I believe it's Christ appearing here to Abram, the Lord had much to say to him. And he revealed to himself in this great title, El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. Commentators suggest there are two great significances in this name or title, El Shaddai. First of all, it suggests to us the power of God. So it's translated here, the Almighty. God is mighty to give victory. God is mighty to overcome our discouragements. God is mighty to protect and defend us. God's might. But this title El Shaddai not only speaks of God's power, but of God's provision. He is able to supply. So he is almighty in the sense of his might, but also almighty in the sense that he has all the resources to supply need. Now, it is significant that in this first mention of El Shaddai in the Word of God, that there's such an emphasis made on the covenant. And you may have noticed in the reading that over and over again, we have the repetition of this word, covenant. Now, the Lord had already spoken to Abraham back in chapter 15 about the covenant and how the covenant related to the land that the Lord would give, as well as the seed that the Lord would give. But these details are added to in this particular chapter. So again, we read of the land, we read of the seed, but we also learn then that from Abraham's line will be many nations. In verse 4, and the New Testament, we see that there is a great gospel fulfillment in that. In the words that follow, we read of how kings will come of this line. In verse 6, God would be the God of the seed. So not only would there be a seed, but God would be the God of that seed. The land that God had promised specifically was the land of Canaan, verse 8. And the covenant would be fulfilled through the line of Isaac, verse 21. Now, tying these two matters together, El Shaddai and the covenant. What is really the message of this chapter is this. That God is able to keep covenant because he is El Shaddai. And so he is powerful to keep his covenant. He will bring forth this seed. He will give the land of Canaan to the seed. He is powerful to give the New Testament fulfillment of the covenant in bringing the nations to himself. God also makes provision to keep his covenant. So all the resources of the earth are his. In verse 8, it says, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land. And the Lord is able to give that promise because he is El Shaddai. All the provision is his. Last time when we looked at Hagar, I showed you that the truth that she discovered, the omniscience of God, is of great practical value. I want then to take a similar approach today and show that this title, El Shaddai, is of great practical value. And it's not only practical for Abraham, but for you and I today. And so I've entitled the message, A Fresh Revelation, Enabling Progress. A Fresh Revelation, Enabling Progress. I want to see, first of all, that this revelation enables obedience. Notice in verse 1, it says, When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And here is the great command. Walk before me and be thou perfect. But before the command is given, he says, I am El Shaddai, I am the Almighty God. Therefore, walk before me and be perfect. I am Almighty God. On that basis, walk before me and be thou perfect. And this was not only a command to Abram, but surely it's a command to every believer. The Lord still says to you and I today, walk before the Lord. Be thou perfect before the Lord. And certainly, that is a great challenge. And yet the words El Shaddai are the key to obedience. Now in the chapter there is a very logical order. And so the Lord introduces this whole theme in the opening words, I am the Almighty, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And then in verse 4 he says, as for me, as for me. And so he is saying that I will fulfill my part in fulfilling the covenant. And then in verse 9, God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. And we could say then the Lord is saying, as for you. So as for me, now then, as for you. And then in verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai. As for Sarah. Then in verse 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his seed after him. As for Isaac. And then in verse 20, and as for Ishmael. And so the great truth is set forth, I am El Shaddai. As for me. And then flowing from that, as for you, as for Sarah, as for Isaac, as for Ishmael. But the key to obedience all comes back to this great title, El Shaddai. Because I'm El Shaddai, walk before me and be like Enoch. Remember, Enoch walked with God. Be like Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now those men were said to have walked with God. God says to Abraham, walk before me. And there is a difference of emphasis. Walk with me, walk with God, suggests communion. The believer is to walk with God. He is to know communion, fellowship with God. He is, of course, also to walk after God. He is to follow the Lord. But then we have it here. The believer is to walk before the Lord. That is, he is to walk in the sense of God's presence. He is to walk with this sense, the Lord's eyes are upon me. And so if you are to walk in front of someone, they can see you. And so the believer is to walk with this realization that God's eyes are upon us. And I wonder, is this how you are living out your Christian life? Walking with the Lord. Walking after the Lord. Walking before the Lord. The Lord says you're enabled to do it because he is El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Sometimes words like that make us feel uncomfortable. Because if we're honest, we fail to meet that requirement, be thou perfect. And even if we translate the word in a weaker form, we still struggle. This word perfect is sometimes translated without blemish. Walk without blemish. Or walk in completeness. Or walk uprightly. The word is translated in those different ways in Scripture. The answer to holy living is not try your best. Rather, we are to see that the Lord himself is the key to obedience. Walk before me. the one who is El Shaddai. Be perfect because I am El Shaddai. There are two great texts on this theme in the book of Philippians, and I think often these texts are misunderstood, often misapplied. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things. Those words are not saying that the Christian is omnipotent. They are not saying that the Christian has no limitations. The context there in Philippians 4 actually has to do with contentedness. So, by God's grace, I am content. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I can behave correctly in this sense of contentedness, because the Lord is the Almighty. Christ strengtheneth me. And remember, one of the ideas in this title is that idea of power. So God is powerful, therefore I can be content. And of course the words can then have a broader application to the whole area of holiness. I can be holy, including content, because Christ strengthens me so to do. El Shaddai. But then in verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need. Now that verse is not teaching that all your greed will be supplied. But the Lord supplies the need of his people. And there is the idea of El Shaddai is the provider. The resources are his. Therefore, he supplies our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you think of those words in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we read of the prophet of scripture in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Lord has given us his word. El Shaddai has given us his truth, that we might be furnished unto those good works, that the man of God may be perfect. Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus. And surely there we can again see El Shaddai, the God that raised Christ from the dead. Verse 21, Hebrews 13:21. Make you perfect in every good work. The God of power, the God of provision, enables obedience unto this command. Now coming back to Abraham, you think of those 13 years that he had spent watching Ishmael grow up. And scripture draws a veil over what the home life, tent life, was like during those years. How did Sarah respond when Hagar came back? What was the tension like between those women? What was the tension like as Ishmael developed into the strong-willed man that the Lord said he would be, a wild man? Those must have been very difficult days for Abraham. He was trying to walk before Sarah, trying to walk before Hagar, trying to walk before Ishmael. And we are, of course, to walk before our families. But the Lord was showing, here is the way that you can do it. First, walk before me. And as you struggle to walk before your family, as you struggle to walk before your colleagues at work or whatever it might be, walk before your neighbors. Firstly, walk before the Lord and be thy perfect. And as Abraham was challenged to obey, the obedience was put to the test straight away, because the Lord brought this command that the household, the men of the household, were to be circumcised. As I mentioned, Ishmael, it was said of him that he was to be a wild man. And we can try to imagine something of the conflict that might have taken place as Abraham came to Ishmael. And yet there was obedience. Abraham discovered the truth. El Shaddai. This revelation enables obedience. But I want to see then, secondly, this revelation brings brokenness. Because if you look with me at verse 3, Abram fell on his face. Abram fell on his face. And so here was this wondrous revelation of God, El Shaddai. And Abram falls on his face before the Lord. Now the world wouldn't really admire that. But God certainly did. Abraham was one that was trying to fix this problem of no seed. He was trying to make things work out. But when God speaks, he falls before God. Humility, brokenness is brought. This is what the Lord desires. This is what the Lord requires. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And the Lord does not want all our schemes. The Lord does not want all of our plans, how we are going to bring his purposes to pass. The Lord wants brokenness. The Lord wants us, as it were, to fall on our faces. Abraham had discovered that he himself then was not the Almighty, but that God was the Almighty. And this is a chapter of new things. Here is the revelation of God, El Shaddai, revealed for the first time. There's new information about Abraham's line concerning the royalty and so on. Abram got a new name, Abraham. Sarai got a new name, Sarah. The name of the promised child was revealed, Isaac. There was the new sign of God's covenant, circumcision, a new instruction that for children born into this covenant line, they were to be circumcised on the eighth day. Now, thinking of this new name for Abram, the name Abram is very interesting. It means exalted father or father of elevation. Yet prior to the birth of Ishmael, he was the father of none. Now you imagine Abraham coming to the promised land. Barnhouse speaks at length on this in his comments in this particular chapter. And he pictures Abram arriving in Canaan. And people ask him, what is your name? And he says, I am exalted father, father of elevation. Well, how many children do you have? Well, I don't have any as yet. And they must have felt how strange this is for a man that has no children, an old man that has no children, Abram. You imagine him then after this chapter going out to his household and others and saying, I've got a new name. And they might be thinking, well, that would be appropriate. He says, my new name is Abraham, father of many nations. How amazed they would be. Father of multitudes. I was reading some words of James Montgomery Boyce on this issue, and it really struck me that in the Hebrew language, to change Abram to Abraham, it just requires the insertion of a breath or a breathing, which is represented in English then as the letter H. And the same with Sarah. To change Sarai to Sarah, there just had to be this breath inserted. And Boyce suggested that this represents God's spirit being breathed into them. That their names now carried this thought of God's breath. Now, if that is the case, isn't it very interesting then in verse 3, Abram fell on his face. Here is a man empty of self, and he is prostrate before the Lord. And the Lord says, I'll put my breath in you. And you know, that's exactly what happens with the child of God. The child of God is to be an empty vessel before the Lord. And when we're empty and broken before the Lord says, I will fill you. I will fill you with the power of the Spirit of God. And of course, that is exactly what was going to happen for Abraham and Sarah. Full of the power of the Spirit of God, and this miracle took place. And dear child of God, then, oh, that today that there would be that fresh brokenness with us. That the Lord would reveal something of His greatness to us, El Shaddai. We would fall before Him in brokenness, but we'd be filled then with the power of the Spirit of God. Maybe there's one in the meeting today and you're not converted. The great need of your soul today is this, that you would see who God is. El Shaddai. The reason why you have not humbled your heart, the reason why you have not called to the Lord for mercy, is because you have not recognized the greatness and the majesty of God. When the Lord takes a hold of a sinner and reveals His majesty, reveals His greatness, reveals His authority, reveals His righteousness, His holiness, sinner will be brought to that state of being prostrate before God. It's our great yearning for you, unconverted one, that the Lord in His mercy would open your heart, that you would see the greatness of God, that you would cry to Him for mercy. This revelation brought brokenness. But I want to see then, thirdly, that this revelation strengthens faith. This revelation strengthens faith. If you look with me at verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Now, there's been much discussion among commentators and preachers as to what type of a laugh this was. Was it like the laugh of Sarah in chapter 18, where there was a laugh of unbelief? Or was this laugh of Abraham's a laugh of confidence in God? In the sense, was he laughing at what before he had seen as an impossibility, now saying the Lord is absolutely able to do it? Was it a laugh of confidence? Now, looking at the words in the context of the chapter, I feel there is certainly some measure of unbelief in Abraham's part. If you look at verse 17, Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And surely the straightforward reading of those words is the suggestion that Abraham was saying, how could this be the case? I'm too old. And again for Sarah, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? It's physically impossible. Surely that's the straightforward meaning of those words. Verse 18, and Abraham said unto God, O, that Ishmael might live before thee. And again, surely the idea is there that he is saying, Lord, you're saying I could have this son, but take Ishmael and fulfill your promises through him. Now, though there is this evidence of unbelief, there's no record of Abraham being censured for unbelief. In comparison with chapter 18, where Sarah is very clearly reproved for her unbelief. And God actually takes this word, laughter, and says that is going to be the name of the child, Isaac. Isaac means laughter, in the sense that God laughs at the impossibilities. God is not limited. God will bring about what man has deemed to be impossible. Now, if you could turn with me then to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and in this chapter, at the beginning of the chapter, we read of how Abraham believed God, which I showed you on an earlier occasion, relates to an earlier season in Abraham's life. But then Paul begins to talk about chapter 17. If you look at verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision. And that's certainly referring to Genesis 17. If you look with me then at verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And certainly in chapter 17 we have this issue of the change of name, Abraham, father of a multitude, father of many nations. Now if you look with me then, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Remember in Genesis 17, he was 99. It says here, when he was about 100 years old. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now some have looked at those words and they said, then surely it's very clear that there was no doubt with Abraham. And so they tried to explain the laughter in a very different way than unbelief in chapter 17. But I believe the key is actually found in verse 21, where it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And so when the Lord first spoke, there was doubt. There was faith mingled with unbelief. And that's the reality of the Christian life, faith mingled with unbelief. But then, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, the Lord assured him, and the Lord said, Sarah shall bear thee a child indeed. And when the Lord spoke those words then, Abraham was delivered from unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was now fully persuaded and he believed that the Lord was able to perform. Now you think of those words in verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. He was persuaded that God was El Shaddai. And so it brings us right back to the beginning of the chapter. That as God said to Abraham, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. By the time the Lord left Abraham in that chapter, Abraham was fully persuaded that God could do this very thing. Now perhaps today you are staggering. Perhaps today you can say, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Perhaps you believe the Lord can restore you. But there's doubts. Or you believe the Lord can save your loved ones, but you've doubts. You believe the Lord can intervene in your great difficulty. There seems no way. And yet you believe the Lord is able to open up a way, but still there are doubts. And the Lord would say to you today, dear believer, I am El Shaddai. And the Lord reveals himself in that way that our faith in him would be strengthened. That our faith in him would be strengthened. Maybe there's one in the meeting and you're not converted. And here is good news for the sinner. God is El Shaddai. He is the one that is powerful to save. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God is powerful to save. But he is also El Shaddai, the one that has provided in order that you could be saved. And God, out of great love, then sent his dear son. His dear son came to this earth, was in that true humanity. He lived a perfect life, and he gave himself a sacrifice for the sinner. And all that is needed to reconcile you to a holy God is provided in Christ, El Shaddai. And oh, today then, dear sinner, we exhort you to flee to him. We exhort you to recognize that he is the Almighty to save. May you even flee to Christ today. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen. We're going to turn in closing, please, to the hymn 580.